We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where will our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together from the scriptures as we find it this evening in Psalm 51, the first six verses. Psalm 51 from verse 1 to 6. It's to the choir master, the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Let's read it together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather tonight, we profess the faith that you've put in our hearts, that Jesus is our Redeemer. We pray this evening that you will help us to listen in a self-sacrificial way so that you may ply our wills and shape our motives and govern our actions in the power of the Holy Spirit and bind us together in the bond of peace. We pray this in Jesus' name and we thank you. Amen. For our mission's focus this evening, I'd like to point out to you something most precious. The Mukanyu Theological College, where our brother Jacques and Vaney work. We have some members in the congregation from our church offices who serve on the board of Mukanyu. And we have members at faculty there. We are very, very good friends with our brother Brian de Vries, our brother Jacob Igba, and others who are at this college. And the Lord is doing a wonderful work through Mukanyu. We are grateful to the Lord for this. And they thank you for the support from the congregation, Jacques and Vaney. Please go read what they write in the Missions Focus for you this week. They give you some really valuable information, some background, so that you can pray for them in an informed way. And love them and send them some messages of encouragement. They're a very faithful couple, Jacques and Vaney. We praise the Lord for them. And Jacques and Vaney, if you're listening, thank you for your work. Thank you for your faithfulness and your example to us all. And the Lord bless you in what you do, my brother, my sister. As we come together this evening to pray, we continue to remember the Schutzler family, the loss of our brother Lind in the past week. I bring greetings to you from Derek and from Detta and them, the family. They thank you for your love and your care. The way you reached out to them yesterday morning when we had Lynn's memorial service here. Thank you for loving one another in that way. We need to continue to pray together. Many of our folk are not well. We need to pray for our country, for our missionaries, for our families and our sister churches and for ourselves. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come together in prayer this evening as a congregation up on this little hill here, we bless you not only for your pardon of those sins that we have committed, we bless you also for your goodness in preserving us from the multitude of sins that we were prone to fall into. We thank you that we can acknowledge this evening, Lord, that we have sins that we're not even aware of. that lurk deep within our natures and our intuitions and our motives and our characters and in our cultures, making us unaware of them because they seem so normal. We pray that you forgive us this too. We thank you for your grace. If we could repent to the very highest degree, or even if we could achieve the holiness of men and of angels, it would never make up the damage sin has made upon us. And Lord, we pray, be merciful to us sinners. We don't call upon you to repeal any threat or nullify your word. We do not ask you to become unjust. We just thank you that your wisdom has found out a way that we may be pardoned and you may be satisfied. And now your overflowing goodness overcomes us. And if only we had the hearts of all men and angels to praise you. We thank you, Father. We come together in a deep awareness of our own fallenness and our own proneness to self, Satan, sin in the world. We pray that you preserve us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue your sanctifying work within us by your Spirit and your Word. Give us sharp consciences, steady wills. Empower us by the Spirit to think right, to pray right, to live right. In Christ our Redeemer. We want to put before you the names of those among us who are not well. We pray for the Schutzler and Paul families, that you console them in their loss. We pray for Suzanne Nortschke and Elaine and little Mika, that little girl, battling for her life. Little Sammy also, Lord, battling for his life. They little, Lord. They don't understand. They wonder why they cannot do what others can do. They wonder why they feel different and it's hard to explain to them. We pray that you heal them and restore them, Lord, to the glory of your name and the joy of their families. We pray for our brother Jonathan. We thank you for the brief fellowship we could have with him this week. We pray that you encourage our brother and that you heal him. We pray for Wilhelm and for Philip and Sune and our brother Bernard and Chantel and Raquel and Zirkia. We thank you that Michelle can be here with us this evening. We pray that you continue to strengthen her and that you heal her, Father. We pray for Marika, our sister Daphne, for dear Walton, for little Leo, for Wilhelm and Marina, for Florrie and Hank, and Jimmy and Yvonne, for Annette and Chepu and Michelle and Thelma and Michelle Myberg. We thank you for them. Heal them, we pray. We pray for Jean and Jackie, our brother Peter and Margie Harrison, and for Rina and Wimberly and Tani Ingrid, for Jan and Miranda, for Tani Mariana, for Anna, for Sarah Jane and Naomi, for Elena and Carol and Marinus and Louis and Jenny Munz. As Louis goes in for that operation, we pray that you heal him. We pray for our families this evening, Lord. We pray for Sister Jean, for Tianda Kok, for Machrit, for Carol, and for Rake and for Karin. We pray that you bless them especially in this week. We pray for the missionaries on the field. We pray especially for Jacques and Vaney this evening, that you would strengthen them in their work and in the Lord's vineyard. We also pray this evening for our sister churches, that you help us all to draw together, united in Christ, resolute to preserve the unity of the faith and the love of the Spirit among us. Revive us, restore us, reform us, we pray. We pray for our government and those in positions of power, and we pray that you give them wisdom and instill all the virtues in them so that they may govern us aright, we pray. And Father, we come before you with deep contrition having a week behind us where we were made deeply aware again of our own fallenness and sinfulness and our own inadequacy. And we pray that you forgive us our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and restore unto us the joy of your salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read together from verse 25 to verse 34. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. This is our Lord Jesus speaking. It's important I point that out before I read the first words of our text. Therefore I tell you. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. That's the Lord Jesus telling us. It's not your pastor telling you. It's not some philosopher. This is the King of Glory speaking. It's the Lord Jesus telling us. He's telling you and he's telling me. What's he telling us? He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I don't think I would get very much disagreement if I made the assertion that anxiety is a common struggle for many, even among believers. Anxiety is an interesting thing. The Greek word for anxiety comes from a word that means tumbling thoughts. That's what anxiety means, tumbling thoughts. It's like, I've told you this before, you're standing by a little mountainside and it's very rocky and stony and one little pebble comes loose at the top. And it starts rolling down and it just hits two that are just slightly bigger than itself. And those two come down the mountainside and each one of them hits only two that are just a little bigger than themselves. And they go down and each one of them hits only two that are a little bigger than them. Do you get the picture? You have an avalanche. Anxiety is a mental avalanche. It's a mental and emotional breakdown. An avalanche of thoughts. It's thoughts. It's thoughts that are tumbling. It's what we are thinking that is tumbling. That's what anxiety is. And the Lord speaks about it here, and He opens up for us the concerns that often lead to anxiety. He uncovers the root cause of it. He tells us what causes it. Why does it happen? What causes that avalanche? And then he gives us a divine cure for it. Now that ought to be the most popular thing in the world. The Lord explaining to us why we get anxious and telling us how he heals it. Our world is in a frayed and a dark place at the moment, isn't it? People are scared, they're afraid. We see it when we walk down the hospital corridors. And you see the family members standing there with the sick one lying there in the intensive care unit. And you see it on their faces. It always grabs you by the heart when you see that. You see the anxiety, you see the fear. And so this evening we must look at these truths and how they relate to our lives. Especially in light of Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9, to which I will also allude. One cannot look at this passage without turning to Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9 also, where the Apostle Paul encouraged us to do certain things that help us to dispel anxiety. Now let's look first of all this evening at the concerns of anxiety. What are the things that make us afraid? What are the things that make us anxious? Well, I want to go to verse 25 first and identify the first thing for a reason. Verse 25 first. What the concerns of anxiety, the most important thing is life. Full stop. Life. Life is difficult. It's fraught with danger, isn't it? We cannot take it for granted. But he says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your lives. Our lives are filled with uncertainties. The very existence can become a source of anxiety. We worry about our health, our relationships, and our overall well-being. We worry about our finances and our resources. We worry about our family members, if they're going to be okay. If you're a parent, I think you know what I'm talking about. You have to raise children in this world. It can make you anxious. It's almost nothing in life that does not, in one way or another, make someone at least very anxious. Life itself. And then also, in the second place, food and drink. Verse 25, what you will eat or what you will drink. Many people worry about that. I can understand that, can you? You know who I feel for most is not the adults who are hungry. I feel for them as well, but imagine being a parent and wondering what your littlies are going to eat. You think about that for just a moment. We see it on a daily basis as elders. Our students also reach out to people. They see it. You see it, don't you, brothers? You see the hungry, and thank you for what you do. The Lord bless you in that. It's one thing to go hungry yourself. I'm not a big eater, for which I praise the Lord, although any time I can be enticed with a little bit of sushi, I like the stuff. But in the way that I grew up, I could never really sit down with a meal without thinking of those who don't have much. Kind of gets to me. Some of my friends who grew up with me, we talk about it often. It's not an easy thing. It can make you very afraid. It can make you anxious if you don't know what you're going to give to the children to eat tonight. It can make you very anxious. Food security in our world is a genuine concern for many. And yet, if you look at the statistics, which a while back I gave to you from this pulpit, you'll be amazed at the food crisis that we have in the world. 800 and 28 million people are starving as I speak. Let me say that again. 828 million people hungry as I speak. Worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. And I often feel guilty when I live in the east of Pretoria here and see all the choices we have with good things in the shop. Shall I take this one or that one? What? You want a king's tier or just the cheese? Or $828 million. That's scary, isn't it? And it takes very little to go wrong for us to find us in that as well. It can happen to us, beloved. And so that's why people get anxious about it. That's why I love the Lord for Philippians 4:19. And I love what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He says, don't worry about it. I read this to somebody the other day who was an agnostic. You know what he said to me? Yeah, well, that's easy for him to say. My reply was, that's also easy for him to do. Yes, it is easy for the Lord to say that. He's the Lord after all. But it's not only easy for him to say it, it's easy for him to do it. And he says that he does. In Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This thing in my pocket on a daily basis, I hear the buzzes and the pings on it. And I'm sometimes too tired or afraid to open the message because it's someone somewhere who needs food. Someone somewhere who needs some clothing. But our Lord says we mustn't worry about it. Because in Philippians 4:19 he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That sounds like a promise to me, doesn't it? Have you ever seen him break one? He won't break that promise. I want to say to those who are listening online and those who are here, don't go hungry. The Lord will supply all your need, and don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about it. Clothing and appearance, oh my goodness, in verse 25, nor about your body, what you will put on. We live in a society that places immense pressure on appearance. Have you seen that? How we look and how we dress, especially among... No, I'm not going to say it. Yes, I am. The sisters. They like to look pretty and have nice clothing and so on. And the brothers too. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. But there's something wrong if we worry about that all the time. If we're always anxious about it. The Lord says we mustn't worry about that. And then he tells us, he says to us, you don't need to worry about it. Look at the lilies of the field and the birds. Look how he takes care of them. And you can't add a single thing to your life. Not an hour. And you're anxious about clothing? Look at the lilies. If God clothes them, he says he will all the more clothe you. I remember one of my brothers who likes fine leather wear. And I don't know, I acknowledge I like guys like that who like nice things. I like it. And not in a carnal way, but I do. And he said, I said to him, that's a beautiful belt that you have there. You know what he said to me? Thank you. Jesus gave it to me. By his grace. Right? But we think about those who don't have too. Don't we? We think about them. And in taking care of them, if we are going to make a mistake and err, we err on the side of grace. We don't err on the side of law. I'm glad the Lord came down on us on the side of grace and not on the side of law, aren't you? Imagine if he had come down on us on the side of law and what we deserve. But he came down on us on the side of grace. And I praise him for it. We thank him for his grace, for giving us good things. We pray that he gives us eyes and hearts for those who lack things. Those are the concerns of anxiety, life and food and drink and clothing and appearance, and of course all the things that go with them, the things you need to do to be able to make a living, your studies, work hard at your work. Can you see how it's all attached to food and drink and appearance? And safety is also another one. And comfort, I guess, is also one. The Lord says, don't be anxious for it. Now, what is the cause of anxiety? We've seen the concerns of it, life and food and drink and clothing and appearance. Oh, in the future, I forgot about that one in verse 34 down there. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. That's another big one that makes us anxious, isn't it? Tomorrow, oh, I'm so afraid of what will happen tomorrow. It's another concern. You don't know if you're going to have a tomorrow. I say it again, not to scare you, but to call us to realism here. Not one of us knows, as we sit here, that we definitely ever going to enter our homes again. You don't know. You better make the best of what we have here now, worshiping the Lord together, which is the best thing you can do on a Lord's Day evening. We make the best of it, because we may never sleep in our beds again. The next time we're aware, maybe in glory or somewhere else, if we don't examine ourselves. We don't have to worry about food and clothing and water to drink and life and the future. The Lord says, in fact, we must not do it. And it kind of looks like that makes anxiety disobedience for the Christian, isn't it? But that's easy for me to say. It's easy for us to say. But the Lord says we mustn't. What is the cause of it? We find it in verse 30, and it's not nice. O you of little faith. Did you see that? The causes. Lack of faith. It's not believing at all, or believing wrong, or believing inadequately. That's the cause of anxiety. Now, what is faith? What is it that makes faith the thing that will dispel anxiety? Well, there are three things about faith that are important. The components of faith, you know what they are. The first thing is knowledge. You know certain things. You know the truth. You need to know it. The second aspect is assent. to assent to it, to not fight it, to give up to it. So I know it's true and I don't fight it. But then this third aspect of faith, trust. Trust is the third aspect of faith, knowledge, assent, and trust. And it's when the trust aspect is missing that we become anxious. If we believers who know the truth and who agree with it, but we're still anxious, it's obvious what is lacking. It's the trust aspect, isn't it? We're not trusting God. We're not taking Him at His word. He says He'll take care of us if we get anxious for the things He says we shouldn't get anxious for. Isn't that a clear indication of a lack of trust? Does that make sense? We need to trust the Lord. We need to know what He says. We need to agree with it. And we need to trust it. And trust makes us act on something, not just say we believe it. And so that is the cause of anxiety. Now, what is the cure for anxiety in the third place? We find it in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the cure for anxiety is to faithfully seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice it's not just the kingdom of God, but also His righteousness. In other words, the righteousness of God that calls us to give to our God and our fellow human beings the love that is due to them. We must seek that. We must seek His kingdom, and we must seek His righteousness. And when we do that, all these things that we get anxious about will be added to us. So the antidote to anxiety is not merely to stop worrying, but to reorient our priorities. When we focus on God's kingdom and His righteousness, we are reminded of His sovereignty and of His faithfulness and of His provision. So how do we pursue the kingdom of God and His righteousness? This is where we turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6. The Lord gives us very, very clear advice. Not advice. He gives us commandments. He tells us what to do instead of being anxious. We find it in Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, not about food and drink, clothing, life, and the future. Don't be anxious about it. Don't let your thoughts tumble about it. He says, but, now that but tells us, instead of being anxious about these things, here's what you must do. Can you see it? But don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Does that exclude anything? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you know this well as my congregation. The first thing you need to do to counter anxiety is pursue the kingdom of God and His righteousness by praying right. And how do you pray right? Well, you start with thanksgiving. Start with gratitude. You see, and supplication. That's bowing down to God with thanksgiving. And then our petitions. We make our requests known to God. You say to me, why must I make it known to God? He knows everything. Well, that's the way you show Him that you trust Him. You tell Him, Lord, here are my requests. Here is what I'd like you to fix. Here is what I'd like you to provide. Here's what I'm asking you as my Father. He says, and when you do that, something will happen. The effect of it will be that the peace of God that transcends all human understanding will do two things. It'll guard your heart and it'll guard your mind, the emotions and the thoughts. You'll see, you'll still have all the problems that you had. But strangely, you'll be at ease. You'll feel, but I'm at peace. I have these challenges, I have these worries, but I'm at peace. And you can't understand why you're at peace. Well, that's because it's the peace of God that transcends your understanding. Everything in you says, you ought to be really, really shivering right now. But you're not. You can't understand why. You know, I remember once with Susan, we had a particular predicament that we were facing. And I was telling her how bad I was feeling about it. And I was uptight about it. And I said to her, how can you be so calm about this? And she said, I don't know. I don't understand it. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's the peace of God that transcends my understanding. That's what we must pursue. Why must we pray right? Again, you've heard me say this from this pulpit right throughout my ministry at Constantia Park. Because Jesus Christ is your Redeemer and He is your High Priest who is always praying for you. You must pray with Him, for you, to Him. That's how He redeems you. You pray to Him, you pray with Him, you pray through Him to God the Father. That's what brings a peace of God that transcends all understanding. And it does two things. It guards your heart. In other words, your emotions don't run away with you. But it also guards your mind. You can think more soberly because your mind is guarded by that peace. That peace stands in front of your heart. And any anxiety that wants to come in faces that guard. It says, you're not welcome here. And it wants to get into your head. The peace of God that transcends your understanding says to the anxiety, no room for you here. This man, this woman has the mind of Christ. No room for you here. You're an illegal alien. You can't come in here, anxiety. His heart belongs to Jesus. His mind belongs to Jesus. You can't come in here. But I guess that's easy for me to say, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not easy for me even to believe it. But I know it's easy for Him to do. I've learned that. He can do it. The second thing. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, is there anything worthy of praise? Think about these things. Do you know people who think about the opposite of this? You're in their company 3 minutes, you want to chew your wrists off. Have you met someone like that? I get like that. Susan would say yes. Whatever is unjust, whatever is impure, whatever is unlovely and uncomely, whatever is reprehensible, if there is any low standard, anything worthy of condemnation, think about these things. You know how it makes you feel when you get into company like that, don't you? You know, when you get into your own company and you're like that, everybody can see it on your face. Right? That's what causes anxiety. It's that kind of sinking. That's what causes the tumbling thoughts. That's what hurts you. That's what makes you anxious. That's what makes others anxious. It makes our world a hostile place. The Lord says, think right, pray right, think right. Why must we think right? Well, because Christ is our prophet, and he teaches us how to think. Did you know that he doesn't just teach you what to know? That's often a problem among us evangelicals. We know what we need to know, but we don't know how to think through what we know. We have the wisdom only halfway. It's right thinking, but it's not in action. It causes anxiety. It makes people afraid. It deprives you of, it removes the guard that is guarding your mind in Christ Jesus, and you lose the peace. That's how this works. You pray with Christ, your priest. You think like Christ, your prophet. And thirdly, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, says Paul, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. You need to do what is right. Pray right, think right, live right. Why must you live right? Because Christ is your King. And notice how Paul encapsulates it. I love this aspect of Scripture. Now, often you find a verse that just encapsulates everything he said in a passage. Look how he does it. He said, what do we need to do? We need to do things we have learned. The prophetic. We need to do things we've received. The priestly. What Christ earned on the cross. We need to do things we have seen. The kingly. See how he encapsulates it. You see how Christ stands in all his glory in this text that tells us not to be afraid. How he stands there as our prophet, priest, and king, ready to keep his word, to say that your Father will take care of all these things for you. I went to Afrikaans Oorseeën School in this week and met some of the young men there who are studying, and they flocked in there. I spoke on anxiety. I was asked to do that. And after the time, a boy of about standard 7 or so came up to me. He said to me, "Dankie vir dit, oom. Ek was so bang voor ek dit gehoor het." Beautiful little young man. So I said, "Is jy nog bang?" He said, "Nee, oom. Ek is nie meer bang." Dankie vir dit. Jy is welkom, o seun, kom hierson. Die Here seën jou. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be anxious, and let's not make one another anxious. Let's draw together in this congregation as the Lord's people, of whom he takes care. And teaches us how to take care of one another in the midst of great pain. Many challenges. We're different to the world. We're not the same. We're not like we were before he saved us. Are we? We're different now that he saved us. We think differently. We feel differently. We do differently.
because we are not those of little faith. We know what he says. We agree with what he says. And we trust him. So we're not anxious. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for reassuring us as your people this evening. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the means of grace. We thank you for how you take care of us. We pray for our souls this evening. We put our petitions before you. We pray that you dispel all anxiety within and among us, in our families, in our friendships, in our fellowships. Remove the anxiety. Put in place your guard of the heart and the mind. Your peace that we cannot understand. We pray this in Jesus' name and we thank you. Amen. Let's stand and sing together with joy and in peace that transcends all our understanding. Let's sing together, though troubles assail. Hymn 767. Dearly beloved in Christ, may he who is full of kindness and compassion, who is slow to anger, vast in love, whose works of love are of surpassing measure, keep you in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.